Hello, everyone. If you've been listening to this show in the past month or so, you might be wondering, where did those last two episodes go? And I decided to delete them. I did a top list of the year, and then I also did a Game Awards episode and talked more about the year. And let's just say they are basically the same episode. So instead of just choosing one, I'm doing a definitive talking about the year. This is my year 2023 in review. I'm going to be talking about games, movies, and so on. And then at the end, I'm going to look forward to 2023. So this is the 2023 year in review of the best. And I'm not going to do a worst list because I'm just going to talk about the worst a little bit, but I want to focus on the positives this year. I want to focus on the good. You know, I'm my kind of content. I don't want to necessarily sit around being like, this game is garbage and this game's bad. That being said, I will talk a little bit about it because the part for me, at least, my definition of positivity is not forced positivity, not being happy all the time, but allowing yourself to feel anger, to feel sad, to feel disappointed in something, but then moving onward and not letting it live in your head rent-free all day. So, welcome to the Late Night Sprites 2023 year in review. I'm even going to talk about the show, how the show did in 2023, because this is one of the best years for the podcast yet, and I'm looking forward to next year. The funny thing, though, is because I deleted both of those episodes, if anybody looks these up in the future, it looks like if you look at the dates, that I just took a whole month off. Like, oh, after Black Friday, that episode must have taken a lot out of him, and he just napped through all December. He took a long winter's nap. But in reality, I did two episodes that just ended up being the same episode. So once more with feeling, welcome to Late Night Sprites. I'm your host, Homecoming Hero, and thank you so much for joining me. So we are going to go through all of 2023 because I want to talk about indie games. I want to talk about remakes. I want to talk about AAA games, movies, the whole works, all of it, the whole year. I'm not going to go through month by month because that would be a very long episode and not very fun for me to record, let alone for you to sit through. So we're just going to hit through the major highlights of the year. So starting first, I am going to get the worst out of the way. I mean, playground rules. Worst is the first, and second is the best. And that wasn't just something we would tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better for getting second place in Foursquare or Tetherball. So, with the first being the worst, the worst movie I saw this year was The Flash, and I think that explains itself. I know some people like it, and they are entitled to their opinions, but the personal worst movie I sat through was The Flash. I did not see Aquaman, I did not see Haunted Mansion, and I didn't see, like, three other bad movies that people say are bad. So I missed that one. It's very unfortunate, but yes, The Flash is the worst movie I saw this year, and yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And the worst game I played this year was Clive and Wrench. I hope it gets fixed and patched. It had some promise, but it was a little too ambitious. It was super glitchy. The boss fights were really bad. I played about 8 or 9 hours of it, and I just was not feeling it. And yeah, Clive and Wrench, it's like a Banjo-Kazooie clone. You'd think it's a Ratchet and Clank clone with a name like that, but nope. Clive is a rabbit and Wrench is a monkey. Get it? Monkey Wrench. Monkey Wrench. Get it? But yeah, that's enough of the worst. Let's move forward. But first, we look back. Okay, that sounded dumb, but I'm keeping that in there anyway. So, talking about 2023, I want to talk about the channel first because I feel like doing a big thank you at the end, I don't really want to do that. So, really quickly, thank you to everyone who listened. Thank you to my parents. Thank you to my friends. Thank you to my online friends. And thank you to everyone who's listened. Thank you to my parents and my friends for just being here with me and supporting me and listening to me on nights that I need to just get some frustration out. And thank you to everyone who listened and for supporting me. 2023 ended up being a very creative year. The blog came back after being stunted for a very long time. Blogging and podcasting for me was something that I lost a lot of passion in. Last year, it was really creatively bankrupt. I felt frustrated. I had creative block, all of that. And it ended up being a big problem. At the end of the day, though, looking forward, or looking back, I should say, it was just a droplet. You know, if you might be experiencing creative block, just treat yourself, take care of yourself. It won't last forever. And I don't mean stop trying. If you, for example, are an artist and you are having creative block that you can't draw, draw what you know. Even if you draw the same basket of fruit two or three times over before you get that idea for that next amazing sketch or that comic that you were thinking about, just take care of yourself and don't stop trying. Don't give up. Do not give up. So, looking back, I mean, the fact that the Summer of Sprites this year had so many episodes compared to 2022 having a grand total of two of them, the fact that the blog came back and rebranded as Late Night Creative Thoughts as a space for me to talk about musicals and more musicals and a lot of musical content on there. I'm really excited for the future of that one, especially with the amount of musical movies that are out and coming out. But so that was great. Getting review codes was a dream come true. My big dream is to talk about indie games, work with indie game developers, and make content about indie games because I love indie games. So doing that was a real dream come true, and I hope to do so again next year. So thankful to the developers that let me make content about their games this year. That was amazing. So after that, now let's talk movies. And in terms of movies this year, the best movies I saw, I'm going to say Barbie was really good. Barbie was a lot of fun. The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti, that was a very emotionally powerful, really great movie. I still am so glad that I saw that. It was filmed and made to look like a film that was like made in like the 70s, credits and style and all. It was really great. It's rated R. It's very much like a Dead Poets Society style movie, but it was really well made. Going upwards from there, so I guess this is kind of like a mini top five. So five was Barbie. Barbie was a lot of fun. It was really funny. It's a great lighthearted movie. It's a little crazy, but it's crazy in a good way. And it's just a lot of fun. Four was The Holdovers. Three is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. This one was a big surprise, but this one's definitely top three. Number three and number two keep swapping places in my head, and they probably will even after this episode goes up. But for this list, number three is Mutant Mayhem. I absolutely adored this movie. I saw it twice in theaters, and I really loved it. I had so much fun with it. The fact that I went in with zero expectations and then just saw a really fun, great movie that was really well made for Turtles fans. It made me really excited about the future of the Turtles. Number two, I saw last night at the time of this recording, and that was Godzilla Minus One. Oh my goodness. I thought I was just going to a Godzilla movie, but this movie about made me cry. It was that well made. My goodness, I loved this movie and absolutely adored it. Like, wow, it's emotionally impactful. The scenes with Godzilla are awesome. And I don't really want to say a lot because I think this is a movie people have to experience. It's that good. And number one is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I was waiting for this movie since last year. My excitement was going through the roof. Into the Spider-Verse is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I love Across so much. The messages, the animation, the story, the characters, the humor, the character interactions, the message of writing your story. Very powerful, very well made. The ideas in this movie run very deep in a good way. And Across the Spider-Verse, I have now watched it multiple times. I saw it opening day in theaters. I even bought the popcorn bucket. Just such a great movie, and I cannot wait for the third one when it does come. But Spider-Verse was my favorite movie of the year. Some honorable mentions, the Mario movie. Like, if I did a top 10 list, the Mario movie would be probably number, like, 7 or 8. I love the Mario movie. I love what it did. The best thing about that Mario movie was that soundtrack. For what it was, the Mario movie is up there with the Sonic movies as well-made video game movies. Very well made. Another honorable mention is Theater Camp. You can see more about Theater Camp on the blog, because Theater Camp is a really funny movie made for musical theater fans, and Theater Camp is definitely another honorable mention that I had a really fun time with. In terms of other honorable mentions, I would say this is another radar movie, but Tetris. It is not accurate at all, but Tetris was pretty fun to watch. The reason why I'm not doing a top 10 is because I saw a good handful of movies this year, but some of them weren't really top 10 worthy, I would say. That's the best kind way of putting it. So here's a small segment on the movies I missed this year, though, in my 2023 in review. The movies I missed out on: The Boy and the Heron. I missed Wonka. I missed The Color Purple. I missed The Waitress live show taping, because it was a Fathom event and it only was like one night a week. That one hurt. That one I wish had a official run, because, yeah, it's The Waitress musical. I slept on Theater Camp for a while, but I ended up watching it. So Theater Camp isn't, like, in there yet, but Theater Camp's a hidden gem and an honorable mention, but yeah, not in the movies I missed. Blue Beetle, I missed. Gran Turismo apparently is good. I missed that. A lot of movies came out this year. And speaking of things I missed, let's get the games I missed out of the way. Games that you are not going to be hearing about on this list. So, games I missed. Pikmin 4. I played a bit of it, but I didn't find time for it because so many games came out. Disney Illusion Island. From the little bit I've played, this game is actually really charming. It's really good. Another game I missed out on that I put some time into, but not enough to really form an opinion on, is Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not really going to get into the story of why Tears of the Kingdom isn't really high up here. It's just more so that Tears of the Kingdom is a great game. It was really fun to play. I did not give it a lot of time. I opted for smaller experiences, so Tears of the Kingdom just ended up not really being that one for me. And same with Pikmin 4. I plan on going to those next year because, like, earlier in the year, the January-February window, there aren't a ton of games, although Penny's Big Breakaway is slated for earlier next year, and so is another game that I'm trying to... Shantae! Shantae's slated for earlier in the year, but aside from those, I plan on picking up the slack on some of the games I missed in the earlier months of next year. Another game, Nick All-Stars Brawl 2. I have played a bit of this, but not enough to form an opinion on it. And holy cow, this is good. This is also good. It's a good game, but not enough to make a list. Another honorable mention, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Another good game that I just could not really get around to. So, yeah, those are my honorable mentions, because part of this year was taking care of the backlog. Pokemon DLC, I did not get to that, so I have no opinion on it. The only DLC I really played this year was the Mario Kart one and the Turtles one. So I'll talk about DLC in a little bit. But Now we have the honorable mentions out of the way. I'm going to be talking about remakes. I'm going to be talking about new games. And I'm going to be talking about indie games in my year in review. So stay tuned, because this episode is far from over and I'm really excited to see where it's going. So stay tuned. So let's dive into the categories for games. So first off, best free game of this year for me was The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog. And that, just wow. The fact that the Sonic social media team was allowed to help make a game and they made something that was funny and enjoyable and just a nice little April Fool's Day thing was really great. The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog ended up being a really great time, and I still can't believe that came out this year. And yeah, it's still up and it's completely free. I highly recommend it. It's only about 2 hours, but it is a really well spent 2 hours. As for me, best mobile game goes to Marvel Snap. No contest. I'm not even going to announce any other games in that category. It's clearly Marvel Snap. Like, I'm still playing it a year later and really enjoying it. And it is like reliving all of my Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fantasies, but with Marvel. And it's great. And I can't wait for the next season and the one after and the one after, and to get more variants and to play with my friends and to fight people online. Please bring Marvel Snap to console. I want to play Marvel Snap on my TV. Not with an HDMI cord in my laptop. I want to play Marvel Snap on my TV. Make it happen. Bring it to PlayStation. Bring it to Switch. Bring it to all of them. Just bring Marvel Snap to the people where it belongs. Just give me more. That's all I'm saying. But moving forward, let's talk about remakes. And there are so many great remakes that came out this year. Kirby's Returns to Dreamland back in February. Advance Wars, which was one of my favorites. It was one of the most highly just anticipated games for me, because I love Advance Wars on Game Boy Advance. I got all the way up to the final boss of the second game, and then I didn't beat it. And the difficulty spike in those games, it hurts. Like, the games are great. I recommend playing the games, but if you get stuck on the final boss, don't be mad at yourself. Don't be mad at yourself, because I will admit that the final boss, specifically of the second game, is a tad unfair. It's like you're walking down and there's a few hills and a few valleys, and you're like, oh, this is a nice little trek. And then there's a mountain, a literal like 90 degree angle mountain going upwards, and that's where the finish line is. Going forward also, Metroid Prime Remastered, I guess you can put that on the list of ones I didn't get to, but it's neat. It's there. I didn't play it this year. Oops. Pikmin 1 and 2. It's kind of cool to see the entire Pikmin series on Switch, but I didn't play either of those this year, but I'll get to them at some point. And my favorite remake of the year. Wait a minute. We have one more. Super Mario RPG. This one came out really close to the end of the year. This one was really great, and I beat it. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm glad I played it. I'm really excited for Thousand Year Door next year. Cannot wait to play Super Mario RPG again at some point, because I went through this game kind of in a couple sittings, and I had a blast with it. And it's very replayable. It's not a very long game, and it's just full of charm and personality, and Mallow needs to be appreciated more. Mallow is a great character, and I love him. So, going forward, my favorite remake of the year. All of these were great games, though, and I highly recommend playing them. But my favorite remake of the year was Ghost Trick. Ghost Trick HD. I didn't do anything for like 3 days because I loved Ghost Trick that much. I just played through it. I absolutely adored it. The story, the characters, the music. It's funny. It's heartfelt. It's got mystery. Shu Takumi, just my game of the year in 2021, because I don't think I did that for this podcast, was the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles. Like, there were some great games in 2021, and there were some great games last year, but, like, one of my favorite games, period, in recent memory, is the Great Ace Attorney. Now, Ghost Trick is not on the writing level of those two games, but it is dang good and worth a play. Pick it up. It is so well made. It should have gotten a physical release over here, but it did not, and it's just so good. I'm not even going into the story. Maybe I'll talk about Ghost Trick someday, and I probably should, because it's that well made. Moving forward from the remakes, it's time to talk about some of my favorite games, and those are indie games. There were so many great indie games this year. I know I put Bomb Rush Cyberpunk on the honorable mentions. Also, SteamWorld Build. I didn't really get to SteamWorld Build, but I did get to play some really fun indie games this year, aside from the ones that I got review codes for. Brock the Investigator, Prison City, which Prison City was an absolute blast. EX Zodiac was a super great time as well. And I cannot wait for the final build of EX Zodiac. I definitely will be going in depth with that one in the future as well. But in terms of indie games, I found myself playing quite a few indie games from my backlog this year. And going through the new indie games, Rhythm Sprout was pretty enjoyable. I did a video episode on it. Or not video, an episode. I keep saying video, even though these podcasts are not videos. But Rhythm Sprout, I did. Spin Rhythm was really delightful. Spin Rhythm was a great rhythm game, and I highly recommend that one. And another indie game that I really enjoyed was Koa in the Five Pirates of Mara. I didn't even know it was a sequel to My Time at Mara. I actually want to play that. Koa and the Five Pirates of Mara was a really well-made, like, 3D platformer in the kin style of, like, Super Mario 3D World. I had a blast with Koa. That one was great. And Unidentified Falling Objects, or UFO, just a great little puzzle game. If you want a puzzle game to chill with, this one's really fun, and the pixel art on it is great. So there were lots of indie games that came out this year. There were some I ended up missing, and I hope to get to them in the future. So many games, but my indie game of the year has to be Thirsty Suitors. This one was shown at the Game Awards last year, and then it blew me away. I was waiting for it and waiting for it. I thought it was going to come out in the spring. It got pushed to November, and when it finally came out, I went through it on Game Pass. I played it in about 3 days. It is about a 10-hour game, and I loved it. The music is great. The characters are great. The gameplay is a little simplistic. Like, it's very basic, and it doesn't really grow at all. And the skating is kind of basic as well, but this game is so worth playing for the characters and its story. And it's a very fun, short, and sweet adventure. This is like, if you are a fan of Scott Pilgrim, play this game. Definitely play this game. Thirsty Suitors is my indie game of the year. It did not disappoint, and I am so glad that I ended up picking it up. So, looking forward, again, moving on, I should stop saying looking forward, because I'm not talking about 2024 yet. I will. But looking at games I played that didn't come out in 2024, Retro Hunting for me in 2024 was really interesting, and you will hear more about it in 2024, because I have some fun retro hunting content on the horizon for you. But one of the big things I would have to say that I really enjoyed was playing through some indie games from my backlog, like What the Golf. That one was really fun to do. That really surprised me. What the Golf had me raising an eyebrow, but in a good way. It's almost hard to describe it a little bit, because it's just so crazy, but in a good and fun way. Another thing that I did is I went through the entirety of the Cowabunga collection, and doing that was really great. So playing that game as well. I replayed a couple games. I replayed Miles Morales, and I still thoroughly really enjoy that game. I replayed a bit of, let me see here, just going through all the games I played, discovering some of the new ones, replaying Mega Man X, of course. Replaying Mega Man X, that's like a yearly thing for me, but it's fun to go through the backlog as well. But one of the best games that I played this year that did not come out this year is actually Pokemon Violet. I did not really get to that last year. I missed out on Sonic Frontiers, Pokemon Violet, and Mario and Rabbids. I ended up missing out on those. And with that being said, I'm glad that I went through Pokemon Scarlet and Violet this year. Is Legends Arceus a better game? Absolutely it is. Legends Arceus is a better game, and I want another Legends game. But this game is still very fun to play with friends. I started it over. I went through it. I was having a great time catching Pokemon. I ended up finding shinies. I have never done that before. I've had shinies given to me. I've been gifted shinies from my friends, but I've never found shinies out in the wild before, and I loved it. I got a shiny Mareep, and Mareep is like one of my favorite Pokemon. So going through this journey with a new angle, I ended up really enjoying it. Is the frame rate perfect? No. Is the pop-in perfect? No. Is the game perfect? Absolutely not, but I'm glad I played it. The story is really good for a Pokemon story. There's some really good music tracks in here. I really like a lot of the characters in this world, and yeah, I'm glad that I picked it up. Moving forward, though, to the DLC. Talking about DLC, I did not play the Pokemon DLC, so that is not here yet. I kind of played through the game a bunch, so I gotta get to the DLC at some point. I will. I bought it, so I'll get to it. But in terms of DLC, the Mario Kart Booster Course pack was really good. So I will have to say that is the best DLC I played this year. The fact that the Booster Course pack added some of my favorite courses like DK Mountain, Daisy Cruiser, Wii Rainbow Road, so many great tracks. That one was a really good one. So that's the best DLC for this year. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Dimension Shell Shock was really cool. The only detriment I give to it is that this is clearly the studio that made Streets of Rage 4, because the Turtle DLC is the exact same as the DLC for Streets of Rage 4. Like, literally down to a T. They are both roguelikes. They added a couple characters that were new and playable. It's a beat-em-up roguelike with bosses and challenges and difficulty and perks, and you try to get as far as you can. Literally, Dimension Shell Shock is the Turtles version of Mr. X's Nightmare. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's good. It's still a really good DLC. I really love playing as Karai, and doing it with a friend makes it even better. And so yeah, that the best DLC is the Booster Course Pass, though. It is worth its cost. It is worth its price of admission. It was definitely a really cool addition to see that in this like new year. Like, I did not expect them to add to Mario Kart 8, but I'm so glad. Going forward now, let's talk about the Piece de Resistance. We talked about remakes, we talked about indie games. It's time to talk about the AAA games. And when it came to AAA games, I went through quite a few remakes, and I went through quite a few AAA games this year. Some of them I did not end up beating, thus why I talked about Tears of the Kingdom and Pikmin 4 early. But in terms of AAA games, SpongeBob the Cosmic Shake, we're going to go through the honorable mentions first. SpongeBob the Cosmic Shake was definitely a really good time It's not perfect, but if you're a fan of Battle for Bikini Bottom, it was really fun. Sonic Dream Team, which is an Apple Arcade exclusive, was better than I thought it was, but I haven't had the most time with it, so I'm giving it an honorable mention. But Sonic Dream Team definitely was a surprise. I hope it comes to consoles. I'm glad I got to play a bit of it. I actually did not buy an iPad for it, though. Another great AAA game that came out this year, going through all of these. Some people really like the gameplay of Fire Emblem Engage. That one didn't really stick with me. It was fine, I can say the least, but I didn't even beat Fire Emblem Engage, so that's all I can say about Fire Emblem Engage. But Nintendo had a really good year this year. Nintendo, it seemed to be firing out on all cylinders. I didn't even get to, like, I didn't get WarioWare Move It, but it looked fun. Some point I will. There were just too many games this year. There was so much. It was kind of crazy how many games are coming out, and there was one week in October where all of those games coming out were just wow. I'll give a honorable mention to Sonic Superstars. I know a lot of people don't like it. I think it's just okay. I think it's a very middle of the road game. I think it's like a 6 to 7 out of 10. I have played worse. That is all I will say about Sonic Superstars. Maybe I'll talk about it at some point. But going through all of the games I played this year, I have to say that my top list definitely is no stranger to anyone. I've only done one episode on one of the games on the list, and that's my number 2 slot. So, at number 3, I am going to put Mario Wonder. Super Mario Wonder was a fantastic time from start to finish. I had an absolute blast with it. I love it. Yes, some of the bosses are the same, some of it's repetitive, but the levels are so good. The music is so good. The game is bursting with personality. The future is very bright for Mario, and Mario had a really good year, and it makes me glad because Mario is still one of, if not my favorite gaming franchise, with the really well-made movie that was super fun to watch and had great animation and great music, to Mario RPG Remake, to Thousand Year Door being remade, to Princess Peach Showtime with more games coming out next year, to Super Mario Wonder coming out this year. It was a very good year for Mario fans, and that makes me very excited, and I'm so glad. My number 2 game released in January. My number 2 game was Shadow Dropped, and my number 2 was announced at a conference on a frozen day with snow on the ground. And I had no idea. But this game, my number 2, was just one, much like Mario Wonder, had me smiling ear to ear the entire time. I had no idea what to expect from this game. I had no idea what was in store for me. But then I saw it and I thought, oh, it's coming out in May. But it was Shadow Dropped. This game stayed my game of the year until about 2 months ago, and I kept thinking about how good it was from January, and I still do. And that game is Hi-Fi Rush, a rhythm game hack and slash. Should not be a thing, but, and it should not work, but here we are. My goodness, this game is incredible. The personality, the graphics, the art style, the music. Well, I hope a game centered around music would have good music. And this game has such good music that even the streamer mode has good music in it. Hi-Fi Rush does not fool around. This game, from start to finish, is a head-banging, head-bopping, want-to-get-up-and-dance good time. Yes, the stages drag a bit, and I wish they were broken up some. Yes, I hope for a sequel, because this game is that good. I love Hi-Fi Rush. This game deserves all the kudos and praise and compliments it gets. Hi-Fi Rush is one of those games that I just absolutely, from start to finish, loved. The gameplay was very easy to get into. They have lots of different difficulties, and at the end of the day, Hi-Fi Rush ended up being this game with lovable characters, great writing, a simple yet fun-to-follow story, and much more. This game really stole the show in more ways than one. And my number one game, I was waiting for it to install while I was playing Mario Wonder. My number one game is a game about facing your past and not living in it, whether you are hurt or hurting. This is a game about overcoming those things, but not overcoming alone. My number one game taught us that sometimes you have to be greater together. My number one game for 2023 is Spider-Man 2. The story is incredibly well written. This world is just continuing to give a rich narrative. The characters are great to follow. The gameplay is great. The side missions are better than any side mission in the series prior or any game prior. This series keeps getting better. Insomniac, you are truly one of the best studios out there with the quality that you give us and the games that you have, from Spyro to Ratchet to Spider-Man. And I absolutely adore the narrative that they are weaving, the characters that they have crafted, the incredibly great gameplay, and so much more. Spider-Man 2 is an incredible game. It's a great game. And it's my game of the year, and I cannot wait to see where this story continues to go. With that being said, that is my games of the year. So, before this episode wraps up, we are going to dive into what I am looking forward to in 2024, as well as what you might be seeing on the show. So stay tuned. So, looking forward to 2024, there's some great things to look forward to. First of all, Paper Mario 1000 Year Door Remake, absolutely excited for. Princess Peach Showtime, absolutely excited for. Insomniac's Wolverine, know very little about, but super duper hyped for. But for me, it looks like next year is going to have some fun AAA games. I know there's that one car RPG I really want that they showed at Summer Games Fest. Deca Police is in there somewhere, hopefully. Oh, they said 2024 and beyond, but when it comes out, I'll get it. I'm really excited for Deca Police. Level 5 is making that one mech game that I'm kind of excited about. Even the soccer RPG looks kind of good. It's nice to see Level 5 up and kicking. The Apollo Justice Collection, I'm really excited for. And more. But 2024, to me, looks like it's going to be the year of indie games. And here's why. Devolver Digital releasing Plucky Squire and Pepper Grinder. Both I am incredibly excited and hyped for. The game Locomotive, which looks like a return to LucasArts-style point-and-click games. Paper Perjury, which is an Ace Attorney-style game, so I'm immediately interested in it. I cannot wait to pick it up. A new Shantae game. Penny's Big Breakaway. The Sonic Mania team is at it again, and their next product already looks incredible. The completion of EX Zodiac, hopefully, because that game is super fun and awesome, and I can't wait to see more. There are just so many indie games. Rift of the Necrodancer. Oh my goodness, Rift of the Necrodancer. Aside from the new Shantae, WayForward is releasing this like collection of games, and you slap each other. It's like Punch-Out, but you slap each other. Also, there are like three Punch-Out style games coming out next year. Big Boy Boxing, Intergalactic Boxing, and that one WayForward game I just mentioned. There are so many indie games. Victory Heat Rally looks awesome. There are some great indie-looking RPGs, or indie RPGs, not indie-looking, but indie game RPGs. Oh my goodness, so many indie games, to the point where I have about four or five AAA games picked out that I'm excited for. One of them being a remake. And there's a few of them that I mentioned earlier. But indie games, I am just so ready for. Of the ones I'm most excited for, I would say the top five indie games I'm most excited for. Number five would probably be Big Boy Boxing, just because I love Punch-Out, so the idea of Punch-Out coming back seems incredible. Freedom Planet 2 is coming to consoles. That's not on the list, but just Freedom Planet 2, I can't wait. I love Freedom Planet, and I can't wait to play the second one. Going forward, even more, Paper Perjury. I am ecstatic for Paper Perjury, so this one is number four on the list. I cannot wait to play Paper Perjury. Plucky Squire taking the Link's Awakening style formula and making a game that just looks beautiful and gorgeous. I cannot wait to play that. Pepper Grinder looks super fun. And number one is Penny's Big Breakaway. Rift of the Necrodancer is also tied with Penny's Big Breakaway at number one. I cannot pick between the two of those. I have two number ones. Rift of the Necrodancer and Penny's Big Breakaway are day one purchases. I'm so excited, but there are so many indie games to look forward to. And I will hopefully be covering some of them on this show. That's right, more indie game content next year. But also, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, I plan on covering some retro hunting content. Maybe some movies again, and just topics as a whole. Sometimes I just want to talk about a video game soundtrack or retro hunting or a movie and not necessarily have to review. I might try doing lists at some point. I'm going to be experimenting with some different ideas, but I also want to do the Summer of Sprites again. I definitely want to plan it out because this year it was not planned out. It was a success, but I planned it out, or I didn't plan it out. I want to plan it out. That's what I meant to say. I didn't plan planning it out. I was flying by the seat of my pants. As you can tell, this ending bit is unscripted, but thank you to everyone for listening in 2025 or 2023. Why did I say 2025? 2025 is when Professor Layton comes out. So that's my most anticipated game of 2025 is the return of Professor Layton. There, you got my most anticipated game of 2025 already. Sorry, Monster Hunter Wilds. Professor Layton just got ya. It reminds me of a puzzle. But, yes. I am so thankful for 2024. Already, I'm thankful for the indie games that are going to come out. But I'm so thankful for 2023. I'm thankful for the friends and the family that I've seen and the adventures we've gone on. I'm thankful for the musicals I saw, the art galleries I went to. I'm thankful for the movies I saw. I'm thankful for the games I played. I'm thankful for the time shared together. I'm thankful that this podcast and the blog, which is now Late Night Creative Thoughts at blogspot.com, have come back. They've gone from being like a barren wilderness to very fun to do creative ventures that I love doing. This year I discovered I didn't have to create what I've always created. I could try new things. Late Night Sprites is a YouTube channel, which I have plans for next year. I'm so excited. Getting review codes. I am so thankful. And I hope to try to get those again next year. To continue my dream of working with indie studios and sharing about indie game devs and stuff and like indie games and spreading the word about them. I love indie games, so that was a dream come true. Games like Koa and Unidentified Falling Objects, winning a couple games and giveaways, that was really exciting. There's so much good to focus on. And yes, there were challenges, there were sleepless nights, and there were some days that I was pretty down. But the good definitely outweighed the bad, and the good is what I personally choose to focus on. 2023 was an overall good year. If I was to give it a grade rating, I'd give it a B+. From the games I played, from the time shared with loved ones and the experiences I shaped, 2023 will go down as something I remember pretty fondly. So thank you so much for listening. And I will be back in 2024. I'm back now. You'll see me very soon. I took a nice break for a couple weeks in December. It's even funnier because even though those episodes were deleted, it looks like it took a month break, but I am back and you will see me again very soon. So thank you for listening to this episode of Late Night Sprites. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I've been Homecoming Hero. I wish you a very happy new year, or a very happy 2024, because I think this episode is going up on New Year's Day. It's being uploaded on New Year's Eve, but I'm sharing it on New Year's Day. So whenever you're listening to this, I wish you the best, and thank you. See you again soon.